On today's episode, we're going to talk to you about the perfect Facebook ad, the three P's, and steak.
Let's go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Jonathan Grzbowski, and today I have with me David Schloss. He is the founder and president of Convert ROI, which Convert ROI enables businesses to succeed by taking complicated social ad plans and seamlessly turning them into easy-to-follow revenue-producing campaigns with over $1 million per month in paid advertisement. Paid advertising under management via Facebook and Instagram. He has also been rated as one of the top experts to watch by Forbes and has been featured on Entrepreneur.com, Business Insider, The Huffington Post, and now the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast. So make sure you edit that one, my man. And has been interviewed on various podcasts and web shows around the topic of social advertising. Today's episode's theme is probably going to be about social advertising and how to get the most out of your advertisements. So without further ado, David, how is your day going, my friend?
I really appreciate that intro. It's been phenomenal. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, well, likewise. I'm excited to have you. Our journey and how we met and how we became, I think we can call each other friends at this point.
I would say so.
Cool.
Sure.
Awesome. It's always good when you get another friend and not just the one on Facebook. But before we begin, we have to start the podcast off the same way that we do every single time, which is with an icebreaker. So imagine you just, imagine you're traveling. Right, you're mm-hmm. traveling, you're going around the world, and you come back from this trip, and you had the absolute best time, the best day of your life. You got some crazy awesome deals in order to better your business. So what is that you land, and so what is that one piece of food? What is the restaurant, and what are you grabbing to eat as soon as you get off that plane?
Oh, okay. So I'll put it this way. I don't immediately go to a restaurant the moment I get off the plane. I wouldn't do fast food. Forget it. I would literally go home, drop off all my stuff, and if I just closed the biggest deal of my life on this trip, there's a place down here called Chima's, which is the best steakhouse in all of South Florida. Period. Period. And so I would say let's take a celebratory trip over there. Let's pig out on steak and whatever else they got, and I don't care how much money we spend. I don't care. It's that good. And we would just be going there, and it's basically all you can eat, steak, chicken, you name it, and it is phenomenal. So, yeah.
I've been to a Brazilian steakhouse. Great. It's what dreams are made of.
It's the best place to celebrate because it never ends.
So are you the type that's – yeah, no, seriously. So are you the type that's going to just screw the salad bar, screw all the other things that fill your stomach? Are you just turning that thing to green right away?
Yeah, just turning over that little chip they have that says the green light to come over to the table. And I'm like, I don't need no salad. Just bring the meat. Like, let's just make this happen.
I feel like that's like a good tagline. Just, bring the meat. I feel like that's a t-shirt that needs to be made.
That's a guy's night out sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, David, without further ado, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Sure. So, right now I have been in business for roughly 10 years. Started an agency from the comfort of my apartment in college back in 2007 as a freshman. And I really started the agency not because I was interested in marketing at the time. I was really looking for an outlet to start earning something online. I was a broke college kid like many other people. And I was really just looking for something that would, in a way, propel me into learning something that could help me earn an extra couple hundred bucks or a couple thousand dollars a month to support what it is I was learning at the time. Instead, I fell into this trap of actually loving everything I was doing research on, which at the time I was doing SEO and video marketing. And I did that for about 3-4 years and was really, really good at it. But social advertising was in its infancy. Facebook ads were just getting started or rolling out really slowly. Twitter ads were brand new. LinkedIn was barely doing any sort of advertising. Instagram wasn't even an idea. It wasn't out yet. And so you really just had to choose between, like the big four. YouTube also had their ad platform, but it was not being utilized much either. I decided on Facebook. It was the easiest one to start on. You only needed $5-$10 a day to really start to learn. And there were only a select group of people with coursework around Facebook. So I just binged watch as much as I could. I was reading all sorts of blog posts, and I just decided to start with Facebook. And thankfully, I had a couple clients from the SEO days that wanted to get things started when it comes to Facebook. And I just kept going. You know, I failed a lot when it comes to Facebook ads. You know, when Instagram came out, I still had no idea how to use that platform, but I stayed persistent with it. And, you know, at this time, at this very day, we have 40 clients under management. We're actually on pace to spend about $2 million a month in ad spend per month. And so, you know, it was really just starting with one platform and continuing to evolve the business with that platform. And so we have clients in all sorts of industries. Many of them are info publishers online, you know, selling coursework or services strictly online. And I would not change anything in this world for where I am today.
So I'm curious, the first thing that comes to mind is you said $5 to $10 that you could spend. Is that still true today? Could you realistically get a considerable bandwidth or reach with $5 to $10 a day?
Depending on the market you're in. Right. So back then when I was running ads for $10 a day, and I'm talking about one audience, $10, that's it. Or bundling a bunch of audiences together and putting $10 towards it and just waiting. You know, back then you could put $10 in and let's say the golf niche, and you would be getting clicks for, you know, 2 cents, 3 cents. You'd be getting likes for a penny or less. You still could if you create clickbait style advertising that just hits home with people immediately. Now, using that same example of the golf niche, because I actually have a client in that space, you know, we're getting leads for 50 cents, 90 cents, a dollar a piece, whereas before my leads could have cost 10 cents, 20 cents, right? So we can already see the increased cost, even though the cost per lead isn't that much to begin with, we're getting half the amount of results we would have had before, at least half, sometimes even more than that. And it's really just because there's more advertisers on the network, the cost for clicks and impressions is dramatically higher. You know, Facebook has to make their money. So of course, the more advertisers on the platform, the more they can charge. They're monopolizing whatever they can. And it's all about engagement. If your ad doesn't get engagement these days, it's going to cost you more to run an ad. Back then, engagement didn't matter. This was the fixed bid. You could put 10 bucks in and you know for a fact you would get, you know, hundreds or sometimes even thousands of clicks because there weren't that many advertisers on the network.
So Facebook, what led you? I mean, I know you're in the SEO space and I know you transferred. Like, why does Facebook intrigue you so much? Why does Facebook, I'll be specific, why does Facebook advertising intrigue you so much to want to convert your entire business around it?
Because I saw the shift in going from strictly info and people doing research around, you know, does this thing matter to me to want to buy, to having conversation around an item before the purchase occurs. And what I mean by that is this. So on Facebook, you notice that many of your friends and family and colleagues, they'll like, comment, share, they'll even, let's say, take something that they like from the newsfeed and send it to someone in Messenger, right? So they're already engaging in some form of conversation around a product or a service. I get shared products or viral videos that end up selling a product at the end all the time. And really what that shows me is that it's the interruption in a conversation that led to an impulse buy or an impulse share. And so when I had noticed that, you know, let's just say about 7 years ago, when I was really starting to pay attention to Facebook, it was that people were going through their newsfeed, and it's completely different way that it looks now, but they were looking at their newsfeed, and when ads would appear in the right-hand side or in that feed, when people saw it, they could not tell if it was an ad. It was difficult to tell because everything was really blended in. So it looked like a post that any other person would share. And so it was very easy to see when things would be interrupted in a conversation and people would click and eventually go and buy. It was a lot simpler back then. Now you're still getting those likes, comments, shares, tags, all those good things, but you're seeing far more engagement on an ad of people saying their experience around a product or their experience around a service, tagging their friends in it, saying, hey, I've bought this thing. I love it. You should buy it too. So there's more conversation around buying into something. Whereas with when I was running AdWords ads and trying things out with YouTube, I didn't see that much engagement. It was really just a click and they make the decision there. There was no enticement from other people communicating around this product to get them to take the next step. And on Facebook, you see that. It's right in your face. If there's 1,000 comments on this product, that person who's viewing this ad can read all the comments and make a decision to go buy.
The perfect ad, in your terms, I'm sure requires a whole mess of things. But say I am a hypothetical situation. I'm an entrepreneur that sells a SaaS software or a product or whatever it is. Can you just give us some remedy, like the perfect formula, in order to create that ad? What should be in there? What should we be looking into, et cetera?
Sure. So the quote unquote perfect ad, right? So I've had ads that are ugly that should not have worked and they did, right? So this is really just a matter of, if I had to choose the perfect setup, this is what it would be. So first off, you're going to use a video. We're just going to establish that from the get-go. We're going to use video here as the creative. Some of the best ads that I've run in the last 6 months have been video ads of either one of two things. One being a demonstration of how this product will affect you and how you feel, meaning if I use your product, is it going to bring happiness, joyfulness, is it going to make you feel nurtured or cared or any of those things, anything that can make you feel good inside, okay? So that's number one. Does this video make you feel a certain way when you watch it? And number two is an ad where it showcases people who've had results with your product or service. So basically a testimonial video, but not just from one person. We're talking a multitude of people. So let's say you're selling a course. I want to have 5 people express how your product has changed their life. That's all I want, is one of those two videos. Now I could tell you that the second option, which is that video that showcases people who've gotten results with your product or service, that works incredibly well. That's just like having your mom, your dad, or a friend tell you how much they love this thing and they want you to invest in it too. They want you to buy into it. And so those sorts of videos do incredibly well because that's edification around who you are, what you do, and what you sell. It's an immediate edification around you. And so I start with a video, one of those two options, either a demo and how it can make someone feel a certain way, most often happiness, and or the testimonial mashup, as I like to call it. With the headline, I'm not trying to convince you to do anything. I'm being 100% straightforward with you. You're going to get blank, meaning free download, the 7 strategies I use to grow my business from $0 to $1 million in 12 months. I'm just going to be very straight up with you. These are the exact things that I used. If I'm selling a physical product, like I did with one of my clients in the fitness space, we would put the name of the product and say, this has helped hundreds of people get in shape in as little as 30 days, which is true because we have a bunch of proof to showcase it and different body types and all sorts of things. We don't try to get any sort of clickbait out there. We want to be as transparent with the viewer or visitor as possible. Right?
That's interesting.
And then the ad copy is just supporting copy to how does this product or service benefit the individual? How does it make you feel? Once again, that's a very important topic that we like to cover. You know, how is it going to change your life? We never really focus on like monetary things, even if it's a product that could help you grow a business. We don't like to say, you know, this is going to help you build your grow your business by 900%. What we really say is it's going to allow you to create more free time. We can allow you to create more opportunities for yourself to invest in other projects or whatever that ideal situation is going to be. So we focus around the feeling and the benefit. And then that's it. We just let the video do its thing because the video can do enough to get someone to commit. The ad copy is supportive.
So with video, I've had personal experience in uploading a Facebook ad, a Facebook video that was like 6-7 minutes long. And it took like 14 years in order for it to like officially be uploaded. Now, obviously, some could say that, you know, it's the internet connection associated with it. But I would say that Facebook in general has a relatively longer load time.
Yeah.
What is that perfect, with going the trend of the perfect ad, is there a time frame that you found that has been really successful that is able to capture the user's attention?
Yeah. So the ideal is around a minute to a minute and 30. If you make the minute, if you make that video a minute long, you can actually use it also on Instagram, right? So if you're looking to utilize that ad on another platform such as Instagram, it's good to keep it under 60 seconds. If you plan to only advertise on Facebook, a minute to a minute 30 seems to be the ideal for us. We've had videos as long as 3 minutes actually convert as well as the one that was a minute to a minute 30, but it depends on what it is you're promoting. Now, if we're doing, let's say, something like a webinar, we're promoting the webinar, we want people to sign up, we're going to make it a minute to a minute and 30. We don't need to tell you much else that you can read on the page. If we're doing a demonstration of a product, we might take that extra time and create the longer version of the video because we can have multiple personalities walk you through how this product works, why it's so effective, how it changed their life, right? So let's say we had three different people a minute apiece. Now, of course, that's a 3 minute video. It's a minute apiece. We can chop them up and use them as individual ads, or we can combine them all together and use them as a long form video ad. But we like to keep things between a minute to a minute 30.
Now, the next thing that comes into my head is you create the video, it's everything you ever wanted it to be, it's perfect, the tagline is good. Now we move into the audiences. Thoughts on boosting a post versus going through like the dark posts and in the back end to actually facilitate the ad?
So they have different intentions, right? So your purpose for using a dark post is really so that you can truly edit on the fly, make adjustments on the fly. You can keep track of when an ad is doing phenomenally well engagement-wise, and you can be able to copy it across multiple campaigns. It's really just so that nothing that is changed is affected on the surface level. Meaning, when you make an adjustment, no one can really see it on your fan page. Right? It's all being done behind the scenes. And a lot of the ads that we run are dark posts. We don't run many ads from the fan page. Now, when we do run something from the fan page, we don't necessarily have to boost it in order for it to work. We could still run ads from the ads manager or power editor to promote something on the fan page. Now, if we decided to boost, we typically only use the boost option to target existing fans or friends of fans. Because we're looking to sort of, in a way, boost the stats of the post before we take it to a completely open market, something that's a cold audience that has never heard of this product or service before. So we'll boost it to fans, we'll boost it to the friends of those fans, see what the difference is, build up the view count, build up the likes, comments, and shares. Then we will bring it out to people who are interest-based or behavior-based or anything like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's good because I'm sure a lot of people are using a similar approach to how they boost versus that. I guess my next question is like, in your business, you've grown to 2 million. I think you said potentially 2 million ad revenue per ad buy. What was the terminology you used?
So we
Media buying?
manage, yeah, we manage about $2 million a month in ad spend every
Okay.
month.
And so it wasn't always like this. So what would you say has been like your like being an advertisement based business? Like, what are some things that you've done in order to gain new clients and build more relationships?
Sure. So a large portion of my business revolves around communication. And it's not only communication in the sense of I'm sending you an update every single day. It's more along the lines of I'm building a bond with you. I'm learning more about you. I'm learning about your business. What's your end goal? What are you really trying to accomplish outside of selling this course? Right? Is there a bigger picture? What's the 5-year plan? I want to learn more about you. The more I understand about you, the more I can cater your message in your advertising to reflect that. Right? So we have a really solid retention rate with our clients because we care about them. We actually care about them. And a lot of agencies out there just look as clients as, a part of the balance sheet or a part of the profit loss. And so, I have clients that I've been working with for 2 years, 2.5 years, 18 months, over a year. Then we have people who've just joined us yesterday, a week ago, and they feel like they've been working with us for months already. And it's because we've taken the time to understand what they want to accomplish and set that plan up so that we can help them accomplish it. And so I feel a lot of agencies just don't put that much attention on their clientele as much as they do with their own people in-house. Yeah, your in-house staff loves you, and that's great, and sometimes they don't. But the amount of attention you put on your staff is the same amount of attention you have to put on your clients because they want to feel special. They want to feel that they're unique.
Totally. Great advice. And I guess what has worked really well for you that you've been able to successfully give time to your customers? Is there anything that you've done, whether it's like I know for us, we write out happy birthday cards, handwritten happy birthday cards, and send it out. What has worked really well for you in terms of communication and referral-based business?
Sure. So a lot of my clients, or I'll just say even my colleagues that send me referrals, when we have conversations, it never, ever starts out talking about business, ever. Everyone is on a page where I have a good conversation with my buddy AJ. AJ's first question to me is, how's life? How's the move coming along? How's your girlfriend doing? It doesn't have anything to do with business because we want to know about each other's lives first. How's everything in life? And I do that with all of my clients. I want to know what's going on in their life. And when we have that conversation first, it sets the tone for the remainder of the conversation, where then when we finally pivot to business, we're super effective in what we're communicating because we've already established this like happiness level in what we've been talking about already. Especially when business is phenomenal, it's a lot easier to say like, this is what we're doing, this is what we're going to accomplish, and here's what you need to make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. The conversations go by really quick, but they're enjoyable. And so, you know, when I'm having a conversation with a client or a buddy of mine who sends me referrals, I'm really just establishing, you know, a more like a friendship to it, where it's like, you know, hey, how's the family? You guys have anything coming up? You taking any vacations? What's the summer look like? I don't want to know about business yet. How are you doing? So I don't even have to say happy birthday when it's their birthday or happy anniversary when it's their anniversary, because they always tell me those things anyway. It's like, yeah, man, my birthday was last week. It was phenomenal. It just comes up in the conversation.
We actually started the podcast with more business-centric questions, but now we're actually going to pivot to the opposite, which is the more personal questions to get a better understanding of who you are as a person. Maybe we could flip-flop it. Who knows? But I agree with you. Starting off with that business mind, with that personal mind, leads into business because that's what they're passionate about. So mm-hmm. I was asked this question, and I wasn't able to answer it. So I'm going to ask you, what do you do for fun?
So I play basketball. I love playing Xbox. I'm a gamer at heart. I've always been a gamer. And when I'm not doing one of those two things, honestly, I am reading about sports all the time, or I'm listening to rap music or hip hop music constantly. I honestly feel that if I wasn't in the marketing space, I would be doing some sort of columnist or editor position at some sort of either sports mag or sports website, or even in like the music industry, because I blend a lot of what I do around sports, music, gaming. I always find ways to integrate that into what I do, which is why I work with a lot of entertainment-based clientele, where I'm always finding ways to integrate with musicians or artists or, you know, athletes and things of that nature, because it's what I love anyway. And so if I can play basketball as a hobby and have a client who's also an NBA star, I'm blending both of it together. It no longer looks like business. It looks like I'm just having fun all the time.
Well, so what's your sport?
Love basketball. That's my number one.
Who's your team?
Miami Heat.
Really? Is this before LeBron, after LeBron, always been LeBron, or always been Heat?
Born and raised in Miami.
Okay. So sad were you when Dwayne Wade left?
It was crying worthy.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty bad. I mean, I didn't go that far, but it was one of those things where it's like, you lose the person that you basically have born and bred in the city. And he's going back home, but this is the guy that you basically launched his career and gave him everything. And at the same time, the front office didn't treat it the right way. You know, they didn't give him what he wanted. He's at the tail end of his career. The Lakers gave Kobe what he wanted, even though they didn't really do anything for the last 4 or 5 years of his career.
Yeah, so, I think he can come back, but we'll save that conversation for another day. Why? I'm just curious, like, why why basketball? Why sports? Like, how are you tying this into business?
So when I was young, you know, my father and my mother were always getting me into some sort of sports. And basketball was the first sport that I was introduced to. The first sports game that I went to was also a basketball game, a Miami Heat game, coincidentally. And so, you know, just the introduction of that game to me as the first sport, I truly fell in love with it because I noticed, you know, it's as much of a team effort as it is an individual effort. You can have your one-on-one where it's all about you, or you can do five-on-five and it's about you and the team. And it's a lot like in my business, you know, you could do things one-on-one by yourself. You know, it could be me versus you and who's a better advertiser, or it could be my team versus your team and seeing who can get this project. It's very much like a basketball game. And so, you know, I utilize my hobbies into what I do in business because, well, one, for example, like with music. Music keeps me motivated throughout the day to keep doing this work. If I sat in a room and had zero sound going on and all I'm doing is staring at a screen, at some point I'd probably go crazy. So there's always some sort of music going on or podcasting. That's just my drive to learn more all day long or any day of the week. And so there's always some sort of sound going on. Usually it's music. And I have music going on in the background. I'm working on ads. And so, you know, music's always been an influence in my life. But with basketball, I look at that from a sense of, you know, these people put themselves through all sorts of training up leading up to the season being 82 games long, and then there's a playoffs, and then they're going for the championship, and when they hit that top of the chain, when they finally reach the pinnacle of their success, they get to take a break. They get to take a couple months off, but then they go right back into it. And I look at basketball as it very much like business. You train and train and train. That's you going through coursework, going through events and seminars and learning and learning and learning. Then you're applying everything. That's the season. You're going through the season. You're taking everything you've learned. You've been, you know, getting new clients, which is like adding new people to the team. You just keep working with them. The championship to me is you just hitting your goals. Making it to the playoffs is that you're seeing how close you are to hitting your goal. Making it to the championship and winning is like achieving your goal. That's just how I see it. And so when I hit my goal, let's just say it's end of November, all of a sudden I've hit every goal on my list, I take the off season, which is December, and I just take a break.
Nice.
I just take a break. So I could tie in how I perceive sports and business very much alike because I treat a lot of my business like it's a season.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like that. It's a really good philosophy. I'm curious, you said that you love rap. What are you listening to in the background nowadays?
So 50 Cent's my favorite rapper.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I was born in 88, and when he blew up on the scene was in 03, and I actually knew about him in about 98, 99 before he was famous. And so I've always found this really weird infatuation with like his career because of how it's had its drastic ups and downs, and the guy always seems to find a way to rebound back into the limelight. And so even now, not a popular musician, but he's executive producing TV shows like crazy, and now he has one of the most popular shows on TV called Power. You know, it's like this guy always finds a way to just show up again. That's really interesting for business, too. It's like even when you're down, you're never out. When I'm not listening to him, I'll have either Jay-Z on. I listen to a lot of, like, underground people that most people who listen to rap don't even know who they are. You know, Black Milk, Elzai. A lot of Detroit people, Royce the 5'9". I'll listen to Eminem every once in a while if I'm angry. You know, so it's like I change it up. And I have this massive catalog that I just put on random and I just let it play. Nice. And so, it just keeps me intrigued.
What about some habits that you do throughout your day? And something that you just like, I'm there's to every good entrepreneur, there's always a method. There's always a, a process. So what is your process like?
So every morning, before I start any work, I meditate for 30 to 45 minutes every day. And it really just allows me to get clear with what I want to accomplish for the day. Now, as I'm getting towards the end of my meditation, I always set intentions for the day. So my intention, for example, could be something as easy as, you know, I am happy and I bring joy to others. Something as easy as that. It has nothing to do with business. It's just I'm happy and I bring joy to others. And so with that intention, you know, I might have a call with a client, and my entire goal in having that call with them is to bring happiness to their day. And that could be through some joking around, showing them some results that we've had in the past week that they maybe have never seen before, finding ways to just make them joyful. And if I accomplish that, then I've set my intention and achieved it for the whole day, even if it just happens once. Nice. And so every morning, meditate, set the intention. As soon as that intention is set, go right into the work.
Nice. Not bad. And what about tools? Tools, resources. You're Facebook, you're an ads guy, so you gotta have to have something that's just in your toolbox. So what are some tools that you just can't live without?
Asana for project management. It's free, right? So I've been using Asana for like 5 years now. I put all my projects in there. In terms of like an ad platform or an ad software, I use Quia to manage a lot of my clients. Just easy to split test and manage all sorts of accounts in there. Dropbox or Google Drive is a necessity for file management. Since I'm always requesting files from my clients, I have to hub it somewhere. And so we usually put them in a Google Drive or a Dropbox when it comes to media. And then there's a unique password manager called Keeper, where I'm able to share any important logins with my team and rescind it if anything were to ever be the reason to do so. Let's say, you know, an employee decides to leave or, you know, they're moving on to another opportunity. I can always grab that login info, encrypt it, and then utilize it either for my own personal benefit or if I, you know, integrate a new person on the team, it's an easy switch of, you know, from one team member to the next and they have access to these specific passwords. But it just allows me to share whatever information, personal information or password protected info I need to with specific individuals without having to give them a master password for everything.
That's cool. I like that. Definitely, yeah. Look into Keeper and put it on the show notes so other people can check it out. Mm-hmm. The last question I have for you is, the Blind Entrepreneur podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business. They may not be able to see the obvious in what they do, and they're stuck in that place. They might be able to physically see the sun, but it's just cloudy. So What are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
So there's three things that I usually tell people when it comes to business in general. This applies to ad campaigns, leadership, sales. I feel these three things are all relative when it comes to business. So I call them the three P's. It's practice, patience, and persistence. Right. So I use this a lot in the advertising world, but I'm sure you'll find a way to align it in business as well. So a lot of what we do in advertising revolves a lot of practice. That's you doing all sorts of, going through coursework, going through videos, really just accumulating as much knowledge as you can, but then applying that knowledge to your potential craft. So in my case, it was learning about advertising and then running ad campaigns to see if I can apply what I just learned. So that's the practice side of things. You know, grabbing a basketball for the first time, shooting it into the hoop and learning about form, learning about how to, you know, drive to the basket, how to dunk, you know, all these different elements, right? That's your practice. From there, you go into patience. Now you have to be patient with yourself and getting to the level you want to get to. You know, in this case, when it comes to advertising, for me, I was working my way up to effectively spending $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000 a day and still being profitable, right? It wasn't just that, can I spend it? Is it leading to a result? Am I making 25% profit, 50%, 100%, 200%? Just seeing where I can continue to improve myself along the way. And that requires patience. A lot of people jump in business and think they're going to make, you know, $1 million in 3 months. And some people do, and a lot don't. So you have to be patient with yourself. But then that leads into persistence. So you've practiced, you've continued to be patient with yourself as you've practiced along the way, but you cannot give up. You have to be persistent. You have to keep going. You have to keep failing, and you will eventually hit those successes. And even if you fail 9 times and you only succeed 1 time, that success is going to hit you so hard in a good way that you're going to want to do it again. It's just going to feel so good. You're just going to want to keep doing it again and again and again. So it's really just continually being persistent with whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is you want to create, and not giving up, because that one win could be all you need to drive you to endless success in your life.
Great. great words of advice. We definitely have to think about the three P's as much as we possibly can. So thank you so much for that. My friend, it's been an honor. You successfully completed the podcast. So yes. Without further ado, just go ahead, look directly into the camera. 30 seconds is yours. Tell everybody how they can contact you. How can they connect? How can they learn more about your business and follow your journey?
Sure. So best place to follow me is on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SCHLOSSY. Everyone calls me Schlossy. Just want you to know that. Right. It's been my nickname since I was a kid. So you can follow me on Facebook. Once again, facebook.com/Schlossy. You can also go to my website, convertroi.com. You can email me directly, david@convertroi.com, if you want to potentially work with me on the advertising side, or maybe you just want to learn a couple things along the way, consulting or coursework, let me know. I'm easy to reach. You don't have to hesitate in thinking I'm not going to answer. Trust me, I answer. And outside of that, you could find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. Just type in David Schloss. There's not that many out there. And you could just look for my beautiful face and just click me and you'll be good to go. But
beautiful,
I'm on Facebook.
It is.
Thank you. Facebook, I'm on all day long. So if you really want to get a hold of me, please just go on Facebook. That's where I'm at.
Awesome, David. So to thank you again so much for your time. To everybody else who is still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. David, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day. To everyone else, until next time, everyone. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.